work or anything you do, make a hobby or a hobby that's fun or something that's going to be, that's going to give you compensation, something that's going to be a financial reward, because you're going to take what you have, your skills and talents, to a whole other level.
Hey, midlifers, welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show. Are you ready to break free from your mundane midlife? Are you feeling trapped in a vicious cycle of rinse and repeat days? No matter if you're experiencing a divorce hangover, job burnout, or you just have the midlife blues, I got you. Hey, I'm Wendy, your hostess of the Midlife Mostess. I too was hit by midlife like a freight train. I too felt stuck in the same dull chapter. I wanted the clarity of how to create a new life beyond divorce and the courage to leave an unfulfilling career. But I kept telling myself that I wasn't worthy and it was just easier to stay in my comfort zone. Until I found a little secret, the freedom to live my life my way. In this podcast, you will learn how to achieve a vibrant midlife mind and body, how to create solid relationships through love and loss, and how to create an awesome second half of life. Grab your grande latte, pop in your earbuds, and let's get this midlife party started. Hi, I'm Wendy Valentine, host of the Midlife Makeover Show. Today, I want to share something personal with you. At 45, my world turned upside down. I was going through a divorce, battling depression, grieving the loss of my brother, and dealing with chronic illness. But I want to tell you about a turning point in my journey, therapy. Speaking to a therapist was a lifeline for me. It was a safe space where I could express my pain and start to find my way back to joy and hope. That's why I'm thrilled to introduce today's sponsor, BetterHelp, the world's largest therapy service. BetterHelp offers professional licensed therapists who are available online at your convenience. You can message your therapist anytime or schedule live sessions via video, phone, or chat. I believe in the power of therapy because it helped me navigate the toughest times of my life. If you're going through a tough time or just need someone to talk to, I encourage you to try BetterHelp. As a listener of the Midlife Makeover Show, you can get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/midlife or choose the Midlife Makeover Show during signup. Welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show, where we explore the journey of self-discovery and transformation in the prime of life. I'm your host, Wendy Valentine, and today we have a very special guest joining us. She's an inspiring figure in the world of personal development and empowerment, Maria Sabando. Is that not like the coolest name ever?
Oh, God. Well, thank you. Thank you for liking it. Thank you, Wendy, so much for having me here today.
Yeah, thank you. So Maria Sabando is a loving mom and wife, chef, yoga aficionado, and slight Italian diva. She's a Georgetown University grad who does all the mom stuff you'd expect, volunteering, cooking, cleaning, etc. But she does it all in style with a magnetic, youthful spirit. Maria is constantly simmering with new ideas for recipes, life hacks, and ways to squeeze the most out of life. Now in her new book, Loving Life at 50 Plus, oh yeah, Embracing Aging Through Humor and Wellness, she's sharing her wisdom in and out of the kitchen to help women everywhere to make the most of middle age. In today's episode, we'll dive into Maria's journey, her 6 secrets to midlife happiness, and how she's helping others navigate the complexities of midlife. So sit back, relax, and get ready for an enlightening conversation that just might spark your own midlife makeover. Without further ado, let's please welcome Maria Sabando to the Midlife Makeover Show. Maria, welcome.
Hi, Wendy. Hi, everyone. So excited to be here. Thank you. It is a total honor, especially to be on a show with someone as spunky and exciting as yourself.
I can't help it.
I know, right? It's infectious, you know, but I'm telling you, I'm older than you. I'm actually 55.
Oh, nice. You look good.
I'm 55. So I wrote this when I was 53 and a half. I mean, the early stages of the book were starting then, but yeah. I just kept writing and writing. You know how it goes.
Yep.
So
what inspired you to write
it's
that?
It's an exploration, if nothing else.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to write a book my whole life. And then I decided that the subject matter would have to be about writing a book, how I never wrote a book, how I never had the chance to, until I had this inspirational, I don't know, nirvana or epiphany when I got older. Because when you get older, it really, it gets better.
It does, better. Right?
And you know what? I'm glad you see that. But yeah. Not everyone sees it.
And I think it's not just seeing it, but it sounds corny, but really feeling it, embodying it. Because, yeah. Right? Because I feel like until you've experienced at least a few decades of life, can you arrive at this like way of being just and more organic. I feel more like me every single day. Like when I look back at like the last few decades of some of my life phases, I'm like, who was that? Why was I acting like that?
Like, you know, I mean, like, I tell you, you got to, because you're looking back when you were busier and surrounded by more people. And now you're in your own mind and you're realizing, what is my identity? At the risk of sounding corny, that's what you're doing. What is my identity?
Yeah.
So I find that passions of what you want to do for work or hobbies or relationships, passions are really meant for older people, because you really know who you are. Yeah. You've explored what you know, and now you have time ahead of you to know what you really want to do. And also be better at stuff than you used to when you were younger, only because you've been through experiences.
Yeah, you're so right. I've always said, I'm like, midlife is so amazing because you're old enough to know what worked, what didn't work, what you like, what you don't like, but you're still young enough to do something about it, and something so amazing. Matter of fact, I just saw something the other day, I think it was on Facebook. Martha Stewart. Do you know she didn't start her whole business until she was 15?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about that. There's a lot of life stories like that. And you read about them, you hear them, and you go, I'm so in sync with that emotion. I feel so comforted by that knowledge, right?
Right.
Yeah. And I keep up the energy for the mental energy that's going up on upstairs, keep the physical energy going, then you're one step ahead of the game, you know?
Yeah. Plus, I don't know about you, but I didn't have an idea of exactly what I wanted to do yet. I feel like I had to go through the shitty jobs before I arrived at the job that I really wanted. I didn't know like, okay, I'm going to have my own podcast. Podcasting was not even a thing, you know, decades ago. I mean, it's just even hit in the last probably 5 years, but I didn't know I would have my own show. I didn't know I would be traveling in an RV. I didn't know any of that stuff, but I think that's just part of it.
So it's a form of expression, and it's not, you know, the Instagram is not just for the teenagers. They love it. They love it. If only they could appreciate it more, but they love it because they have the pictures.
Yeah.
But it's such a vehicle, because first of all, this book that I wrote, I was lucky enough that it translates well to media, translates well to a branding, because it's the branding and the media and social media is a vehicle for getting your message out there.
Yes.
If you want to be, it comes very natural.
Yes.
Because sometimes you need a picture to tell a story. And you know you're interacting, you're interfacing, you're reaching people, they're reaching you. Where books are awesome. I love to curl up with a book by myself. But when you're out there on the media and online, someone else is with you at all times.
I love the book cover, by the way.
Oh, it's funny. I had a hard time deciding what to make the book cover, because
it's so cute.
So it's a cookbook that's like a Jersey Girl fried cookbook. I mean, it's impossible to categorize. I won't even know which shelf to put it on in Barnes and Noble. But it's because it's cookbook, but it's self-help, but it's funny stories too.
Yeah. What do you think the importance of with the food, with cooking?
Okay. So the food is symbolic, whether or not I get that across or not. I mean, I've talked to people about the book, like book signings and podcasts and stuff. And I think they're actually surprised to hear what comes out of my mouth, because right now it's just simply a cookbook, but there's a yoga pose for every recipe, every chapter. And there is an anecdote that almost goes perfectly with every recipe chapter. So I have history with food, like we all do. I like to say I have a love with yoga, but I have a love hate with food. So I went from in my short 55 years, not eating enough to eating too much to finding a happy place.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how, maybe you wouldn't be surprised because you're very witty and smart, but a lot of people would be surprised how hard it is to find that plateau, that platform. You would think it took you this long to figure out how to eat.
Yeah. But, what triggered the change for you? What finally clicked, if you will?
I would say there were a lot of things. First of all, going through emotions of, I lost weight when I first started to go to college because it changes. And it precipitated me controlling what I should eat, what I shouldn't eat. You know, the whole control thing as far as controlling academics, blah, 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 not getting into the psychology of it. But then metabolism gets a little affected. So then when you try to maintain the weight, you end up gaining. So through exercise and yoga and a lot of self-searching and just nowadays it's so much easier to eat healthy. We have so much organic.
I know. Yes.
Resources at our fingertips. You know, I tell my girls, you know, we didn't always have readily accessible healthy foods back in my day. So it's so much easier to
well, if you think about it, though, like
either starve or pig out, but to maintain that nice area.
If you think about it, the 80s was all about like really blasting out the fast food restaurants and blasting out all the bad diets.
Oh, yeah.
We were in that culture of like, I mean, we were as a society, and for women especially, we're so confused. Like, eat, not eat, don't they? Like, what are we doing?
You remember I'm not going to berate any particular product or brand, but there were some desserts and things that were bragging about being non-fat. Well, sometimes non-fat is the worst you could do because to supplement that, they add extra sugar and whatnot. So fat, the right kind of fats are your friend, but we didn't know that. We heard non-fat, you know, eat as much as you want. And I'm not going to go into this, but you know, finally the roller coaster diet stopped and everything leveled.
Yeah.
So I stress in this book too, celebrating life and celebrating family and celebrating food, because food brings us together. And that's what you have to make sure that the meals are nourishing enough that you want to keep eating them. By the same token, you don't want to like walk out of the table being like rolling away. So you're like happy.
Yeah. You know what too? We were talking before we hit record that I live in Portugal half the year. Yeah. And the one thing that I really noticed over there, especially on the island of Madeira, that the Portuguese really connect. They sit down, they eat. It's all about connecting and relationship, where I feel like, it's a little challenging to connect when you're eating, if you're going through a drive-thru and you're just shouting, you know what I mean? Like, but I feel like we've lost a lot of that. Like, it's nourishing to your body, to your mind, to your relationships. Like I love like cooking and just whether it's just for myself. I mean, when I was solo RVing for a year, it was just me, myself, and I'd go out there and I'd grill a piece of chicken and I'd pour a glass of wine. And I would just connecting more with myself. Like you're more self-reflection, and I loved it. It was like the greatest gift I gave to myself. But back to the dining aspect of it and connecting, that's so valuable. And I think we've just lost that.
Right, because it is somewhat ritualistic. And sometimes Europe has a great attitude. Italy is similar to Portugal about, you know, really, really taking time to prepare the meals and not just rushing through them. Because when you take time to prepare them, using fresh ingredients of the earth and of the sea.
Yeah.
It's just they take their time.
How long have you been doing yoga?
I've been doing yoga a long time. I don't even know how long I've been doing it. I'm not an instructor. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like I am because I've been to so many classes that I just have my own practice at home. And in yoga, you know, the word practice is very suitable because everyone does it a little differently. I've never seen two people do yoga the same way.
Yeah.
So I've studied enough that if I want to take that in my own gym at home, I'm in heaven. I just go with it. And you're not going to get injured. You're just not, because you've done it enough and you know where to breathe through the right spots. It's still a goal of mine to be, I'm not saying I may not do it to actually get certified. You know, it's on the list. But as long as you follow what you learned from your instructor and you breathe through it, it's amazing what you could do. Like I said, I'll be in the middle of a class on those occasions when I do take a class, a group class. I'll be there breathing. How is it I'm doing this? I've never seen my body go this way. Yeah. And it's good and it doesn't hurt. And I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Every time I love yoga. Yeah.
It's like meditation and it's for your soul.
Yeah.
You know, I not to push it on people. Sometimes I catch myself trying to push it on people. And I said, and they say it's not for me. Said, you know, it's not for you. I can see that.
Yeah.
I just want you to feel as good as I do. But
exactly. You know what too, though? One thing, kind of going back to the food and then also yoga, it's going back to the basics of the human body, of what it needs. And going through aisle one at the grocery store with the veggies and the fruits and the simple, you know, some fish or whatever, and just moving your body, like whatever you want to call it, you know what I mean? Whether it's walking or yoga or stretching or whatever it is, just do something. And you don't like, I feel like there's so much out there now, which is great, but also it gets overwhelming for people. Like they don't know what to eat, what to do, how to do it. Like just listen to your body. And I think that for me, that's what yoga teaches me the most, is to stop and to listen.
If only everyone knew that, because you know, I always say everything in moderation, because there's so many, you feel like I'm going to stay in this fad diet and I'm going to be great. I'm going to love myself so much after this. I think moderation is a nice rule of thumb, because you could get confused. You know, you're too fad diet, then you're going to get hungry.
Yes. Yes.
You want to keep the blood sugar steady. You want to keep moderation. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't have to be boring, because I eat out all the time. You know, since it's my husband and me, and we love to dine out, we make good choices, and you have to watch the choices. You could gain as much in your own kitchen making a salad as you can, like with a salad out in a restaurant. So you have to really,
I think it comes down to kind of going back to what you were saying earlier, just kind of getting to that point with food of just like embracing it. It's embracing your body and it's accepting who you are, whatever shape that is. Like it doesn't.
Right. Exactly. You know, I one of my chapters I talk about, I talk about, I journal sometimes when I feel like I got on the scale, it's not what I want. But then I say to myself, journal, because journal the fact that it's a number.
Yeah.
And numbers are nowhere except in your mind. So you tell me.
And life is just, I say this all the time. Probably people are listening right now. Gosh, here she goes again. The life is too short, but life is so short. Like to be like, you know what I mean? Like it's just still.
We should all have your energy and an excitement, because that's what it's all about, you know?
It's just, life is just
inspirational. And that's what we need.
Yeah.
Everyone needs it every age, but especially like at my age, you need a lift.
Need a lift. Dang it. We need the emotional lift. So let's go over, and we'll just touch on each one of these, because I mean, there's even things that I would want to say too about it, but your six secrets to living in a happy midlife. Number one, keep it fresh and real.
Fresh and real. Yeah. You can't get bored. Like with your relationships, don't get bored. Don't get bored. Keep it real. Keep it lively. You know, you have to have that two-way communication. It can't be one way, you know, and keep it spicy. You got to do that. I mean, it's one thing to get old, but we're still alive here. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I feel like a lot of times, you know, like we all get busy throughout our day, and we have to just stop and go, okay, wait, maybe like we have to be more proactive in our relationships and all of our relationships, like with our kids, with our parents, with our partners. It's like you have to take steps towards that person in whatever way, right? But we forget, like we all find these little comfort zones in our relationships.
You gotta get out of your comfort zone. I'm not saying you have to like jump out of airplanes or anything, but
yeah,
find your passion. You know, I didn't here I am. I didn't start doing things like this, writing and, you know, going like blogging until 50 yeah. plus. You know, I was busy being class mom, and I've actually loved all my roles, being class yeah. mom. And, but, you know, I was busy keeping down the household, and I turned that I've been cooking dinner for how, like 25 years.
Yeah.
I would hope I would pick up a skill or two along the way that I could use to take out into the world, you know?
And, yeah, that's so true. But yeah, I mean, keeping it fresh and real is just even within yourself, like you said, like trying new things, new hobbies. Like, you never know. I didn't know I would love writing as much as I do. And I ended up, it was when I went to pastry school in Paris.
So awesome.
And it was kind of the time when we, you know, weren't as active on social media. I don't even know if Instagram was around yet. I didn't go that long ago. But anyways, people were asking, well, how are we going to know, you know, how you're doing in school? And I was like, well, I'll just start a blog and I'll just write every day so you guys can read it. And, you know, that thing became so popular. I think I had over 100,000 followers in within a month. It was nuts.
So cool. Did you keep on blogging and blogging without stopping?
Yep. Every day. I made it.
Like, the thoughts just keep coming and you just keep getting it done somewhere. Yeah.
And
yeah,
here I am. I just got a book deal 3 days ago. So here I'm going to be, I'll also be writing a book. Yeah. So
congratulations.
You never know, right? You don't know unless you try. Go take a pottery class. Like maybe you become
something else. Yep. It's like a pathway because, you know, even if it doesn't work out, it's going to lead to something else. You know,
yep.
I watch certain shows and about creating businesses and things like that. The one thing they all have in common is they, whether they start young or old, they pivot and there's no such thing as failure. So if this new adventure didn't work, you move on to something else, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
We still have the energy. I mean, mm-hmm. if I didn't exercise, I would not have the energy to keep what's going on here with physical.
Yeah. And to eat well too. Otherwise,
you'd for energy, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You'd really be run down. Let's see. Number two, keep it lighthearted.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, not a lot of people, but I think I may have, you know, ruffled some feathers on this one. So I am not by any means, sublimating or diminishing anyone's issues or anything. No, that's not what I want to do. I'm not saying don't take it serious. I'm not saying, oh, poo-poo, you know, get over it.
Don't make a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah, I'm just saying that there's a spirit within us that is going to help you. So don't worry too much.
Yeah.
I mean, and you have the support. For me, I'm personal about it. I'm fortunate enough to have support of loved ones that mm-hmm. I can get through stuff. And I even say I am fortunate, okay, that I have this. And I hope that everyone has love in their life that they could get through rough times.
Yep.
And I never like, I mean, in the book, it may come across as insensitive. And I said, I want to clarify that totally not insensitive. Just rise to the occasion and realize you have a lot of love in your life and that'll get you through.
It's gratitude. Just being grateful.
Yeah, that's really the better way of putting it. Exactly. Exactly.
Just keeping it light. And things have a way of just working out the way they're supposed to, even if it doesn't seem like it at the time.
Well, you have a great attitude and you have a great attitude.
I try. And I mean, I work on it moment by moment, literally.
And you journal.
I do journal. I do all the things. Sometimes, I mean, it depends on what's going on in my life. Like I used to be a dedicated journal every single day. Now I don't journal as much because I don't have as much to get out. I feel like I'm like, rah, you know, so sometimes I'll just sit there and go, la di 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 di, and I'm like writing about nothing important. I'm like, well, this is silly. But journaling, it was a part of my transformation and it helped me to get through my breakdown, my midlife meltdown. So,
right.
Yeah,
I mean, I know people who like can't go to bed unless they have a journal by the bed and like write before bed, take a dump of emotions on the paper in the bed and then sleep like a baby.
Yep, exactly. Welcome to a world where midlife is just the beginning. This is Wendy Valentine, host of the Midlife Makeover Show. inviting you to explore my Amazon store, a curated collection of all the things I adore. From inspiring books that fuel my soul to nutritional supplements that make menopause the breeze, each item in my store is handpicked to add a touch of joy and ease to your midlife journey. Looking for that perfect skincare product to keep you glowing? Or my best love hair products for bouncy, luscious locks? Dive into my favorites and discover what makes my heart sing. Visit my Amazon store today and treat yourself to a little piece of my world. Because in midlife, it's not just about making over your life. It's about adoring every moment of it. Head over to amazon.wendyvalentine.com to embrace the best years of your life with style, grace, and a touch of fun. Let's see. What is the third one here? Love is all you need. Love is all you need.
You know, I mean, I can't help it. I'm a big Beatles yeah. fan. Okay. And that was like the first real good song. Okay. Because it's true. It's true. Because that gives you the strength to do blah, 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 do everything that falls underneath that to get into what you have to get through.
Yep.
I mean, that's the basis for it.
Well, you know, and
love conquers all. I know. Again, I will be criticized, but I'm a big
no. It's true, though. Like, yeah, it does conquer all, and we all have a choice, right? You choose either love or fear. You choose either love or hate. It's a choice. We all have. Like, I choose to be happy. I was depressed and plenty of times in my life. And I'm like, now if depression is like coming around the corner, I'm like, no, thank you. I don't want that. I'm going to choose I'm going to choose happiness.
Yeah, yeah. Those life skills that keep that, at least that for bay. I mean, yeah. You know, you still have to face reality, but you have those life skills that you're so confident and happy now. That
yes.
That's goodbye. Goodbye.
Yep. What did you struggle with the most? Like,
I never had a set career, and it wasn't from, I jumped from job to job, but I made the happy choice to raise a family. And that's what I wanted to do. And I don't regret it for 1 minute because
yep.
I'm totally in love with my husband. I have two beautiful girls, and I wouldn't take it back for the world. I'm not saying I got lost, but there was a part of the brain that said, Maria, where you been? Because I studied philosophy and politics at Georgetown. I worked in various capacities, receptionist jobs and various things after college. I didn't go to graduate school. I toyed with some ideas. And the years go by very quickly.
I know. Very quickly. Well, you're busy raising kids and making dinner and taking them to practice and doing all the mom things.
I got caught up in the touchy feely, and it was great. Yep. And it is great. And I don't, like I said, I don't regret 1 minute of it. Mm-hmm. But then when the girls flee the coop,
yeah,
they're still your BFFs and your husband, you're still mad enough with your husband, but they've carved out lives here.
Yes.
You're there. And I'm left with, you know, you like I say, love conquers all, but there's this intellectual part of me that has very hungry for many years.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to have the blessed opportunity and the time to explore that again. So now I'm in the literary world and it feels so great. And actually, not only just writing, but writing, learning about creative writing. I plan on teaching a creative writing course. And
also,
I have to tell you that I have the time and the interest to read other authors that sometimes, you know, they say catching up on your reading. I have many years of books that I just didn't get a chance that I really wanted to read, like a lot
yeah.
of authors. And I love to read.
It's very
time to read. This is,
I know,
this is guilty pleasure. I got to do stuff. But
I know, me too. I almost feel guilty when I'm reading. I'm like, I should be doing other things.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's a common story, though. I mean, for me, it was like I was busy doing all the things and then the kids leave the nest and you're like, oh, shit. Wait, I had all these things I was going to do. And then like, wait, where did my gifts and talents go and my strengths and what happened to her? Like, and then you feel like, wait, do I still have time to do all this stuff? Am I too old? Did you ever think when you were writing your book, I'm too old to do this? Did that limiting belief ever pop into your mind?
Isn't it nice that I never thought that.
Oh, except thank God.
When I had some deadlines and I was tired, I said, wait a second. I wrote papers. I stayed up all night and did in college. I said to myself, I'm older now, but the only sad thing stopping me is me. And I take a nap and suck it up and go back to it. I did it. I survived.
Yeah. Yeah. You become your own cheerleader and you're like, okay. And you remind yourself of the things that you
did. That's the next book. That's the next book, Wendy. You are your own cheerleader because I'm afraid that is the truth. And it's not to discredit any person at all that walks the planet, but it's true.
For me, that was the greatest thing that shifted my life was becoming my own best friend, my own cheerleader. And going, yes, girl, you can do this. Like, get up off the floor enough. Like, pull up your bootstraps. Let's go.
I have to just think about, digress for 2 seconds. Did you ever, Reese Witherspoon, I'm a big fan, her book club and the book actor, you know, she did in Cheryl Strayed. I don't know if you had the opportunity.
Yeah.
When you said that, that was in the back of my mind because I always think of that movie.
Yeah.
She had to go off on her own to find how she fit in, how everyone else fit into her life.
Yeah.
And when you said that, the bells are going off all over the place.
Yeah. That was such a good, I didn't watch the movie, but I did read the book.
And
yeah, so good.
Both, Niagara Falls, but yeah.
Those moments of realization, though, are so great. Those aha moments that come along when, like you said, at the very, very beginning, like the thing is, like when the birdies are leaving the nest and then you're not running around as much as you were before. And then you do have that more, you have more time for self-reflection, more time to think and go, okay, now what?
Right, you got to make that Wonder Woman cape from somewhere else.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you're Wonder Woman. You're not Wonder Woman for being there for your kids or whatever.
Yeah.
You could be Wonder Woman for being confident and getting ahead in your career, your occupation, your hobbies. The list grows on. So you could be like so psyched. Like when this came out, I was like, yes. And like the best part, I mean, the book celebration was fun too. But the best part is that one moment when you're alone and you're like, yes, it's time to share how great I feel with everyone. It's time to celebrate and share. You have that moment. I know what you mean. At that moment, we're like, I did it. Yes.
I know. Yes. Oh,
and
God.
You feel that like deep inside. And like, you know, after that, no one or nothing could take that away because it's like, check that one off. You're like,
you're doing it for you. Yeah.
You're
psyched. So let's see. What's the next one here? Oh, I like this. Work hard, then play hard.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. I'm the type of person who is a workaholic and you wouldn't think so. Some people are surprised to hear that. I am a literal workaholic. I used to say to my husband, I'm the biggest workaholic that you ever live and I don't have a job. It's kind of funny. It's funny. So you could be a workaholic and be retired.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to live it. That's like, sorry. So freaking workaholic, not having a 9-to-5 job. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But technically I have a job, but I'm workaholic. And then when I'm done with work, I mean, really done, then I like to really celebrate. I really like to enjoy life. So I feel that that is the key to happiness in life. Work hard, play.
You and I, we've got to hang out. We've got to play.
I know. What? I'll be over there. I think it's best I go to the West Coast. I'll be there.
Yeah, exactly. Come to the West Coast. Come to Malibu or Portugal. Oh my God.
I think I was a California girl in my prior life. I swear to God, I was.
Oh yeah, you look it too. You got the blonde.
I never lived in California. I visited, and I love it. But I born and bred in Jersey.
Pricey but fun. No. That's why I live in an RV. You know what I was going to say though? A lot of times, like, people will see me on social media, or they hear me on here. They're like, "Oh man, she just plays all the time." I'm like, oh my God, you have no idea. Like, I am not joking. If you could see the seat that I'm sitting on right now, the cushion, there is an indentation of my ass right on the cushion because I sit here so long
and I'm, right now.
Yeah, I'm doing, you know, I'm always writing, I'm doing interviews, I'm prepping stuff. Like, I mean, I work a lot, probably like from, I mean, I got up at 4 a.m. this morning and I'll probably work until 5 o'clock tonight. But when I get done at 5, it's go time. Then I'll go for a walk. I do my yoga. I play. I have fun. I laugh. Like, but yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, and I feel like a lot of us, Americans especially, we work very hard because we're taught to work very hard, but we forget the play part.
I know. It's like by being ascetic, you're getting scoring points or something. It doesn't work that way. You go around once, you know, you gotta live up. And I'm a religious, I'm religious, spiritual, all that, but I believe that, you know, you have to live it up while you're here.
Yeah.
I mean, as you get older, you lose family members, you lose friends and family members. It's just the way it is.
So I know.
It's a constant reminder of our immortality, constant reminder that, you know,
I'm going to try to say this without crying, but if I cry, that's okay. So my cousin Curtis, 55 years young, just died yesterday.
Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry. I didn't
know. And I'm like, you guys, like when my biggest pet peeve is for people that are not living while you are alive, like live, like go do the things, go start that new job or leave that crappy relationship. Like go, like you don't.
Right. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today.
You don't know if you have tomorow. I know. Drives me crazy. So yeah.
I'm not going to sound like, the risk sound like a bumper sticker. You know, you got to live your life. You know, you go the one once.
Yep.
And if you don't take the ones today, or tomorrow,
the next week,
or you know what, you're back in that ugly, vicious cycle. You gotta,
I know,
just enjoy it. And when you gotta be scared. If you're not scared, you're not.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like if there's, you know, death reminds me to live more. It's like, shit. Exactly. I feel like we all take life for granted. Like we've got all the time in the world to do all the things that we talk about doing. You don't. Like if you get to 100, you're really lucky, and 100's not very long. And even still, I mean, comes a time when you'll slow down.
Exactly.
I don't plan on it.
What do they say? Eat the cake, dance the dance. I say, let's all get together and go out. Let's go out.
Yeah.
Let's not just play it safe. You know, go out. You know.
I know. Playing safe is so boring.
Play it safe will get you old before.
I know. Let's see what your sixth ingredient here is to happiness at midlife. Home is where the heart is. Your relationships define you.
Okay. Home is where the heart is. Now, I feel it's another way of saying
Did I say two in one?
they relate together.
So,
actually, I have to say this couples with the feeling of it's who you're with. So, if you are with someone that you love and you're really cool with, you're going to have a great time. Home is in your heart. Wherever you go with the person is home.
Exactly.
You're going to just love that up to bits. And you're going to enjoy that. So whether I'm not saying it's not nice to go to the French Riviera and stuff, but you could be like hanging out like in your backyard, but with the love inside.
Yep.
That you have. And the love that you share with others, the love you have for yourself, home is where the heart is. And it is who you're with. It's not.
Yes.
Surroundings are nice and material pleasures are nice, but sharing what you have, your relationships and your love for yourself and others, that's really where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. Home is where the heart is. Wherever your heart is, that's home.
Right. You could always come home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this has been great, Maria.
It's been great for me. Oh my God. Very fun.
We could just sit around and chit chat all day and hang out on the beach.
So you're going to work after this, huh? You're going to work after
I'm going to work it. Yep. As a matter of fact, as soon as I get done, I start downloading. I start doing all that, create the show notes. But you know what's so great? It doesn't feel like work to me. It feels like play. So I feel like I play 24/7 because I love it. I shared with you before I hit record.
Aren't that we lucky that we love like what we do?
Yes. Because I did not love what I did for 30 years. Hated it. Actually, if anything, no, I'll take that back. Because when I was a teenager and in my early 20s, when I was a single mom and I would do whatever I could just to make some money to feed him, right? I waitressed. And I loved waitressing.
I waitressed myself.
I got to talk to people. It's so much fun. I wasn't very good at memorizing the menu, but whatever. I was
yes, I waitressed the summer before I went to college. And and they said, well, why do you have to go? I said, well, I really rather stay, but I'm going to college now. I had a blast because it keeps you social.
Yeah.
And it's just fun. You're making a.
Yeah. Exactly. I know. I needed that. So what advice do you have for a woman out there? The nest is almost empty and she's going, now what? Now what am I going to do? What advice do you have for her?
What advice do I have for you? I want you to, for every bit of work you do, have a hobby that matches it. And it's true. Because so if I start cooking for people other than my, just for myself and the family, it's nice. And even for parties and catering, you have, everyone's, oh, it's so good. But turn that into, not right away, maybe turn it into a cottage industry or maybe, God forbid, a business. So take what you, for every work or anything you do, make a hobby or a hobby that's fun or something that's going to be, that's going to give you compensation, something, you know, financial reward, because you're going to take what you have, your skills and talents, to a whole other level.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great advice.
Yeah. I really think it is because I, you know, before my journey of writing and getting older, I probably would have said that's awfully a pretentious thing to say, but I think when you are selfish, sometimes I'm not talking about, relating to people, your relationship. I'm talking about selfish in the confidence you give to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be too selfish in that confidence when it's put in the right, done the right way, loving each other, loving yourself. But maybe you could profit some way than that you didn't before.
Yeah.
Intellectually, if not financially. Okay. And I think if you're asking that question in the first place, you have the capability to do all these things.
Yes, you're so right. What do you love most about who Maria is becoming?
Oh my gosh. That is like such a loaded question. I love the fact that I'm joined this time of my life, I'm feeling not tired. Like I was very worried that I'd be like tired at 50 and 60 and 70 and 80. And I thought I'd be, you know, over the hill. I'm still a little sensitive about my age. I am not going to lie about that one.
Yeah.
In fact, when people call the other day, I can laugh about it now, but I was somewhere and they called me ma'am repeatedly over and over again. And I know that's acceptable, but it really shouldn't be. And if these young girls knew how I don't think I was being overly sensitive, how profoundly it affects when they call me ma'am.
Yeah.
Restaurant or whatnot. I think they would stop because I know it's not deliberate. So there's a time, most of the time, 90% of the time I let things ride and I let it like, I let it drift over me like a log with water coming off me, but if you're feeling like really shitty about what someone calls you or not so nice about what someone calls you, don't let it slide because stewing is the worst thing you could do.
Yeah.
Okay. If they make a scene, don't call me that. But fight for your right to party, okay? Because because I'm eating, watching when I eat and I exercise and I have more energy than like maybe I did when 10 years ago when I wasn't paying attention to these things.
Yeah. So
I'm happy that I'm getting younger as I'm getting older. I'm not shutting out relationships in my life. So I think maybe the old me might have burned some bridges back then, but I realized, forgiveness is a big part of relationships. And I think that when you reconnecting with your old soul, your old friends, you think, why did we stop connecting? We had a very meaningful relationships, but I feel like, get over it, get over the small petty stuff.
Yeah. Because just letting go.
I'm loving my family, my friends, and this new energy I have. And
you're energized about life, which is good.
Yeah. I don't have as much energy as you. That's my goal.
I know you want some of my energy. So where can we find you and how do we buy the book?
Okay. So this is on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. And then my Instagram handle, Maria C. Sabando.
Nice.
And Facebook, Maria Sabando. You all reach me on there. And connect with me through my newsletter and my email and everything. And I can't wait to meet all you guys.
Yeah. And I'll add your book to my Amazon store too. So if you guys just go to
my book
comes out in spring 2025. So y'all start counting the days.
That's just a year. And that year will go by fast. You watch.
Yes. Oh God. I know it will. I'm so excited. It's just like pre-order and all that. I'll be promoting it before it even comes out onto the shelf. So
as you should.
Well, thank you so much, Maria.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Y'all have a great day.
Did this podcast inspire you, challenge you, trigger you to make a change or spit out your coffee laughing? Good. Then there are three ways you can thank me. Number one, you can leave a written review of this podcast on Apple iTunes. Number two, you can take a screenshot of the episode and share it onto social media and tag me, Wendy Valentine. Number three, share it with another midlifer that needs a makeover. You know who I'm talking about. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Get out there and be bold, be free, be you.